oppression when we are building real resistance.
Radio.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio.
And if you get in my way to make sure that that man gets housing, or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio. Radio.
Okay. OCAP Radio on this Friday evening, July the 2nd. This is Mike D filling in for this week on OCAP Radio, and it's quite a show that we have for you this evening. Since the last time that you tuned in to OCAP Radio, there has been a lot going on in the streets and around the city, and we're going to talk about all of it tonight. We have two very, very special guests with us this evening, and we're going to obviously be touching upon the events of the past week with the G20 rolling into Toronto, rolling out of Toronto, and leaving in its wake a path of police repression, as well as some incredibly inspiring protests that took place across the city last weekend, one week ago, in fact. But before we get to the G20 and all of the events that unfolded in our city over the past week, We should note that yesterday was Canada Day, the special occasion where we all mark the settlement of this country, the settlement of this settler state of Canada on stolen native land. And fittingly and accordingly, we have with us in the studio today Doreen Silversmith to talk about an event that's coming up this evening. In fact, it's a two-part event. Part one took place a couple nights ago, and part two this evening. Doreen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tonight is a benefit show for the families of murdered and missing Aboriginal women. Before we get to the details of the show tonight, maybe you want to let our listeners know what this is all about. Talk about the issue.
Okay, it's about the families and the young women of the missing and murdered women, like, who have been affected by this horrendous events that's happening across this land, and it's to further their education. Like, it could be maybe going to high school, post-secondary education, and it's like to set up a scholarship fund. And also, it's about maybe they want to learn traditional medicines and so forth.
So how many missing Native women are we talking about approximately?
We're talking about 580, but you know, I went to a few Native communities last summer, and everywhere we went, there were some missing and murdered women in those communities. So just think about the ones we don't know about, and I think that it is a lot higher than that. And I believe that if these were rich white women, those perpetrators would be brought to trial by now. And of course, that wouldn't be happening if it were rich white women.
Yeah, it's an astounding number. And as you mentioned, it's actually probably a shockingly low number. Even as high as it is, it probably doesn't even begin to account for the true toll. Could you just talk a little bit about some of the situation facing young Aboriginal women across this land?
You know, Canada likes to brag that they're the greatest country in the world for treating its citizens' rights, like, you know, treating them right and respecting the human rights situation. And you got the Queen visiting, and this is her statement. She said, "The nation has dedicated itself to be a very caring home for its own, a sanctuary for others, and an example to the world." Well, I say, Yana Tat Deo, that's not the way it is. That's not our daily lived experiences. We got people dying on the streets. Like I said, there's over 580 Ongohome women missing across this land, and there's poverty. There's issues of poverty. There's homophobia, sexism, misogyny on the streets, and violence against women and girls and other people.
So I'm just going to take this opportunity to let people know the details for tonight's show. It is the second of two shows this week. It's taking place starting at around 8:30. It's $10 or pay what you can to get in, and it's taking place at the Cameron House. The Cameron House is located on Queen Street West, just to the west, about one block west of Spadina, I believe, on the north-hand side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
If you do go there this evening, you'll have in store Abigail LaPelle, Faith Nolan, who many of you may have heard on the streets all through G20 Week, Kay Pettigrew, Janie Lozon, and also $100. So again, that's this evening, tonight, starting at 8:30, but come down whenever you can. $10 or pay what you can. Abigail LaPelle, Faith Nolan, Kay Pettigrew, Janie Lozon, and $100. And all of the benefits for this are going to establish a bursary in support of the educational pursuits of young Aboriginal women, obviously, who have all been affected by the murders and disappearances. So maybe just to take this further, do you want to talk about this money and what the scholarship and the bursary and what kind of effect that could have on young women's lives?
I believe that if they further their education, they could get some jobs and be independent of this government. And the government wants us to be dependent on them. The marketization of people's oppression is big business for corporate Canada. So I believe that if they got educated and being independent, and of course we've seen that with the cigarette factories on the territories and the trade, that's our inherent right to trade with other nations. The RCMP, the government stepped up because they want the tax money. So every time we try to become independent, they try to, throw us back down on the ground in a gutter. So these women, I believe that if they become educated and become independent, then I think it'll, especially the young women, I think that it will make our situation far better than it is right now. And I just want to talk a little bit about the G20. Inside the government spent over a billion dollars on security. But that could have been used towards solving these murders of the of our Ongwahoma women and girls, or it could have been spent on poverty and housing as well. Me personally, I was homeless on the streets in 1979, and when I first came to Toronto, and I know what it is like out there. There's violence against our people. There's racialized and sexualized violence. You got Harper pushing an agenda of austerity and deficit cutting initiatives at the G20, and yet we got all these problems here in across this land. We say Turtle Island, we don't recognize Canada as a state. And I also believe that the so-called weapons they found near the Gestapo fence previous to the G20 was planted. They said they found something that was like a pipe bomb in that and other weapons, and I believe that was planted to rationalize the security and the money spent on it. So there's a lot of issues, and people obviously need to recognize that what this establishment is doing to us. And some people said that a lot of people, there was a survey done, and most of the Canadians said that they were okay with what the police did to us, and so they have to wake up. And I'm saying, wait till that happens to you, then you'll know what they're really like.
Well said, Doreen. And I think I'll just remind our listeners once again tonight. This is July 2nd, starting at 8:38 p.m. at the Cameron House. Abigail LaPelle, Faith Nolan, Kay Pettigrew, Jenny Lozon, and $100. It's $10 to pay what you can to get in at the Cameron House just west of Spadina on Queen Street. Do come out. This is an amazing event for an amazing cause. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say also that I want to pay tribute to Audrey Huntley in BC, who's a No More Silence member as well, who's going through a very tough time right now. Audrey, if you're listening, you were supposed to be listening, as you said. Kwenawenkwa, I love you. And also, I want to pay tribute to a couple of people who were also active in the land rights issue near Caledonia, Ontario, for the Six Nations people. His name is Albert Harris and Kathy Henhock. They're both in very bad shape in Hamilton General Hospital's ICU right now. And Kathy Henhock is my cousin, and Albert Harris is my brother-in-law. So it's so as you can imagine, I'm going through a very difficult time right now. I just want to say that We say that it's a land rights issue. We never say land claim because it's our land already. We never ceded it. So we make the government put a claim on it. Of course, they can't prove it. So I just want to say to your listeners out there and everybody, Sonha Jiwa, be true to yourselves.
Doreen, thank you very much for coming on the show, and all of our best wishes and thoughts to your family. And I think we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk G20 on OCAP Radio, CKLN 88.1 FM. Stay tuned. Back to OCAP Radio on 88.1 FM, CKLN in Toronto. And once again, thank you to Doreen Silversmith for coming on the show earlier. Over the past week, since last you tuned in to OCAP Radio, you have seen this city transformed. And certainly we have witnessed an enormous amount of police repression. But really, there's a few things I want to talk about in regards to the G20. First of all, I think it's paramount that we pay tribute, first of all, to the tens of thousands of people that took to the streets all through last week for environmental justice, for queer rights justice, for indigenous rights, for community justice, against poverty, against police repression, against immigration enforcement, and as well as the people that showed such incredible spirit all through the weekend in the face of enormous police power and an enormous demonstration of force from the state. There's another thing I want to make clear, though, as well, which is that certainly it is outrageous that there was over 1,000 people arrested, that people's charter rights were violated all through the weekend and into this week, that certainly the incredible violence that we witnessed from the police was uncalled for. But I also want to make sure that we keep it perfectly within perspective, which is to understand that the violence that we experienced in the financial district of Toronto is unusual only for it having occurred in the financial district of Toronto, that the violence that we saw is not unusual, that that people have their charter rights violated every day in this country, that people have police violence perpetrated on them every day in this country. And certainly what was most inspirational to me about last weekend was people's continued willingness to take to the streets and fight in the face of all of that police violence coming open. And I think we all need to be very proud of the spirit that this city showed. A couple of other little things about the G20. Obviously, Police Chief Bill Blair, and as well as our Mayor David Miller, have said that they believe that outsiders and thugs are responsible for the violence that took place over the course of Saturday. And I have this to say, the people that were responsible for the violence that took place on Saturday are the Toronto Police and the members of all of the other police forces that came into town to help. I had the privilege of working with a group of street medics for most of the weekend, and as bad as some of the plate glass windows of downtown Toronto and the police cars may have gotten it, they didn't get it half as bad as some of the people that ended up on the wrong side of a police baton did. So I think I want to make that clear, and I also have some bad news for our mayor and some bad news for our police chief. What they saw was not the work of outside agitators and people coming into this city who are unwelcome here. What they saw was residents of this city standing up and making it very clear, loud and clear, that the people that are not welcome are the G20 leaders, as well as the government of Canada, which, just setting aside all of their illegal actions here at home, is also a perpetrator of violence and poverty, etc., around the world. And certainly they got noticed that they're the ones that are not welcome from the people of Toronto. So having said that, we have a very special guest in the studio today. Alicia is one of the over 1,000 people that were detained, in many instances illegally detained, and then released without charges several hours later, having gone through the police detention center, which has been dubbed in the media Torontonimo for its outrageous conditions and for its basically completely illegal existence, in fact. Alicia was arrested on Friday, the Community Day of Action, as part of the demonstration organized by the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. And she has written a statement that she would like to read out to all of you. Alicia, welcome. Very, very special welcome to OCAP Radio. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being brave enough to share your story. And go ahead and read what you'd like to say.
Thank you for the opportunity. I was arrested on Friday, June 25th, after participating in a peaceful protest at Carlton Street and Yonge. I joined the protests inspired by the valiant individuals from all walks of life that gathered at Allen Gardens earlier that day and continued to walk to Yonge Street amongst them. Being a dreamer, I was delighted to be part of this group of people who carried signs like Free TTC for All or I Survived the Toronto Earthquake. And I became one with the crowd that represents the diversity of our community. The mood soon changed from a celebration of freedom of speech to a surreal state of chaos. The events that followed turned the day into the darkness page of my personal history. The web of police brutality shook me in ways I only began to deal with. I never thought I would be a prisoner in Canada. I speak to you in the darkest hours of my life. Please listen to my humble request. Do not turn your eyes away in indifference. Open your ears to the different sides of the multiple stories. Open your minds to the multiple views of the same events. Open your hearts to those who condemn police brutality. Open your resources to those causes that you support that bring equity to our community. Speak up for what you believe in. And if possible, do not turn your backs on us. Stay and help us move forward beyond yesterday toward making this city an equitable place for all. To those who found themselves inside the belly of the beast and are united by the injustice, I say, we're still licking our wounds. But although we're shattered, we're not broken. Although we're traumatized, fearful, and intimidated, our voices won't be silenced. The winds of change blow strong. We will continue to advocate and support those causes that embrace human dignity. We may crumble to our knees, surrounded by the devastation in what last weekend left us, with the eyes of the beast staring at us with its piercing look. Despite being frozen and fighting the instinctive need to retreat, we refuse to be victims or to be labeled perpetrators. We lift our heads up and open our eyes. With a prayer in our hearts, we stand up and our voices unite with the sounds of the riot police and their weapons resonating on our heads with their echoes. Despite feeling frozen, unable to escape, wounded, exhausted, and drained of hope, we won't run and hide. On Canada Day, engulfed by the night, we heard the fireworks exploding full blast, and we didn't fear the darkness because we're united in our sorrow, and there is plenty to celebrate because with each bright light exploding in the distance, we were reminded of the many blessings that Canada gives us and the wonderful, equitable place that we dreamers hope it could become tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Lisa, for coming on the show. Obviously, the G20 demonstrations were some of the most dramatic and powerful that we've seen in this city for quite some time. But I think the important thing to realize, as Alicia was alluding to is that we need to not let it rest there. The G20 was one weekend out of many, many to come. And what's important is what we do moving forward in terms of building a movement and some resistance that can show the type of strength we need to, and to build the type of world we need to build. I think that we are about 5 minutes left in the show, maybe 4 minutes left in the show. I think, you know, I was going to say a little bit more about the G20, but I think really Alicia has summed up a lot of the things that I want to leave our listeners thinking about. Obviously, what we saw over the past week has shaken a lot of people up, not least those who have gone through the process of being detained, having their rights violated, brutalized by the police in many cases, and transferred through the court system. Our thoughts are obviously with those who remain in jail. Due to the enormous volume of people that were arrested, it's a somewhat unclear how many people still remain in prison. We do know that some of our comrades have been given ridiculous charges, being charged with conspiracy to commit indictable offenses. And what it basically comes down to is the fact that they are being charged with conspiring to create a movement of resistance and inspiration in this country. And in that, I hope that we are all guilty of that. I hope that we are all willing to continue to fight to support them while they're inside, to support each other when we come out of the system, and to move forward together in terms of building whatever is going to come next in this city. I'd like to give a big shout out to No One Is Illegal Radio, who kicked off the word of mouth hour this evening, to Susie Alvarez, of course to Doreen Silversmith, our guest, and Alicia, to Mark Brill, who always makes it happen. Oh, I'm being told I'm sorry, I can't say goodbye to everybody. I was going to say goodbye, but I can't. But you know what? Doreen's coming in to jump on the mic, I think.
Yeah. I just want to say that to the people who were arrested on these frivolous charges, be strong. We're there for you. And also, as far as the missing and murdered Oklahoma women is concerned, this to the authorities, Stephen Harper, I'll kick your friggin' ass too. And also, to the authorities, like the police, coroner's office, do your friggin' jobs or we'll do it for you.
Well said. So with that, thank you to everybody who made Friday Night Word of Mouth programming possible. Be sure to check out the No More Silence event this evening, taking place at the Cameron House on Queen Street, just west of Spadina. Kicks off at 8:30 with Abigail LaPelle, Faith Nolan, Kay Pettigrew, Janie Lozon, and $100. Thank you very much for putting up with me, Mike D, guest hosting this week. And thanks again to the whole crew. We'll see you again next week.